Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Matthew chapter 27. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. This is the text. Last week, when our gospel reading was 45 verses of John chapter 11, I mentioned how many options there were for preaching. Well, this week is no different. It's Palm Sunday. It's the Sunday of the Passion. It's Confirmation. And our gospel reading, it's not Jesus riding into Jerusalem amid the waving palm branches, but rather it is 55 verses of the Passion reading from Matthew's gospel. And by the way, there was an option to also read all of Matthew chapter 26, which by the way has 73 verses, and the first 10 verses of Matthew chapter 27 also. I decided not to. I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe we should read the Word of God at every opportunity. And we have read the Passion account of the four Gospels during our Wednesday Lenten services. We will hear a great portion of Matthew chapter 26 on Maundy Thursday. I rewrote the Good Friday service this year, and portions of Matthew 26 are going to be used there also. I encourage you to come to the Easter Vigil next Saturday and hear the Word of God as the story of God rescuing his children is told through the Old Testament prophets. And on that day, we will also take time to remember our baptism. The Word of God and our baptism is where our faith is formed. The Word of God joined with water. Faith comes by hearing, St. Paul says. Baptism and the Word of God, that is what we are going to celebrate today and tomorrow. And we will keep celebrating baptism and the Word of God in the days to come and until the Lord returns. As we look forward to hearing the confession of faith and the confirming the faith of their own baptism with our five confirmands tomorrow, I hear St. Paul's words from Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I hear that. And the lazy part of the preacher in me says that if all I need to do is ramble on for another 10 minutes and tell stories about the five confirmands and our time together over the last couple of years and how they will come up here and bow their knees before the altar and speak their good confession that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen, and we're done. But then, if you think about why they are doing this and why the church gathers to celebrate that event, it becomes very clear really quickly that Confirmation Day is not about them. What we're doing here, it's not about you and me. It is about Jesus Christ and what he has done, and how we get the benefit of what he has done through baptism and the Word of God. As I said last week, he was the only one who could fix the problem of death. That's why we take the time to do this. As they tomorrow will confirm the faith of their baptism, what is it that they are really celebrating? And what do we celebrate with them as we remember our own baptism? We're celebrating their death. And we're celebrating our death. And And we're celebrating the new birth that was received in baptism. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Baptism was the death of your old Adam. Yes, your sins were washed away, and you have received new life in Christ. But that new life only comes after your death. And the day of your baptism was that's your real birthday. And confirming the faith of your baptism is to testify before God and his church that you still hold that faith and desire to remain in that faith all the rest of your days. But the day of your baptism and the day of your confirmation, those days were not about you. The confirmands tomorrow, they're going to wear white robes, just like they most likely did when they were baptized. I wasn't there for any of their baptisms, so I cannot say for sure, but that is most likely the case, that they were clothed in a white robe to symbolize Christ's righteousness that had been placed upon them, this long-standing tradition within the church. It really does show the essence of the gospel. As a young child, they were brought to the font, most of them this very font. And it's true of all of us who have been baptized. Your old Adam drowned and died that day. Your old Adam was buried with Christ. This was not of your doing. This was not your decision. This is God's work in you. Last Sunday when we had our public questioning, one of the questions I asked them was, what is the most important doctrine in the Christian church? The doctrine of justification. And then there's a follow-up question, well, what is the doctrine of justification? And Madison Frohn was the one who answered those questions, and she simply stated, "My sin is put on Christ, and his righteousness was put on me." What a wonderfully simple confession of the gospel. But that is the heart of the gospel. It's all about what Jesus has done for you and how you get the benefit of what he has done through baptism and the Word of God. Your sin was placed on Christ and buried with him in that tomb. Joseph of Arimathea took the lifeless body of Jesus Christ down from the cross. He wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid him in the tomb. You were buried with him. This is why baptism is such a big deal. This is why confirming the faith of your baptism is such a big deal. We celebrate it for a reason. Earlier when I said, the confirmation day, it's not about you. Well, that doesn't mean that for the confirmands that bearing witness and confessing their faith in Christ, I'm not saying that that's not important. It is something worth celebrating. But the day is not about them, because the faith that they confess, that faith is a gift from God, freely given, through no work of our own. We look at baptism, and we understand this, especially when we see the baptism of infants. understanding this becomes so much easier. God did a good job of giving us simple things that we can visualize. It helps simple people to understand the greatness of God. Baptism is a gift. A child is brought to the font through no work of their own. There is a death and a new life that happens through no doing of their own. Their sins are washed clean through no doing of their own. And they are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It's all the work of God. Your baptism was a gift from God. Your new birth in the righteousness of Christ. It was no more your responsibility than your physical birth was. You didn't ask your parents to be born. You didn't decide to be born. You were born. And in baptism, you died with Christ and were buried with him. And you were born again. What we celebrate here this weekend is that you, as God's baptized children, you are joined with Christians of all generations, having been justified by Christ, having your sin placed on him and his righteousness placed on you, having received this gift by grace, you now bow your knee and confess with your tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.